What is lordship salvation? Is it biblical? If not, what is the Reformed alternative? Okay, what is lordship salvation? Is it biblical? If not, what is the Reformed alternative? Well, if you haven't heard of, well, maybe we should do this. Who's heard of lordship salvation? Okay. Yeah, most people have heard of it. One of the definitions, and I didn't get this myself, Mike Abendroth, who believed in and held to lordship salvation, who came out of it, writes a great article on the Heidel blog, and it's like a three-part series, and he gives a definition that I took his definition that he pulled from a website from those who hold to lordship salvation. And so they say this, that the gospel that Jesus proclaimed was a call to discipleship. Right? This is what lordship salvation says, those who hold to it. The gospel that Jesus proclaimed was a call to discipleship, a call to follow Him in submissive obedience, not just a plea to make a decision or a prayer to pray. Scripture teaches that Jesus is Lord of all, and the faith He demands involves unconditional surrender. Surrender to Jesus' Lordship is not an addendum to biblical terms of salvation. The summons to submission is at the heart of the gospel invitation throughout all of Scripture. And so, lordship salvation says you must believe that Jesus and submit to Jesus not only as Savior, but as Lord. Well, from the very beginning, even from that definition, don't red flags come up for us all when you hear that? Right away, it's telling us we must do something. You must submit. Is that what the gospel proclaims? That we must first submit before we have Jesus? Doesn't the definition sound a little bit like the law? Like do this and live? Now we need to understand where lordship salvation really kind of gets all of its, you know, full fervor from. It's really in response to what was going on probably in Dallas Theological Seminary many years ago. Guys like Zane Hodges who are teaching almost as if justification and sanctification are two different stages for the Christian. So you need Jesus to be Savior to be saved, but not Lord. Right? So you're justified and Jesus is your Savior, but now you need to be sanctified and make Him your Lord. Right? You need to submit to Him as Lord. And so they have these two different stages. And so lordship salvation is really a response to that, saying no. Right, that's not what it is. That's not what it is at all. Right, it's that kind of thinking that leads to the whole carnal Christian, spiritual Christian thing. Right, where carnal Christian is an actual state that Christians can be in. Right, someone who produces absolutely no fruit for the kingdom, but is a Christian. Right, there are people who believe that. You can be a carnal Christian. I made a decision once. I prayed a prayer once. And even though there's no fruit, bearing witness to the fact that I belong to Jesus, right, they're still believers. But now what the church's job is to do is to get everyone from a carnal Christian to a really good Christian, an obedient Christian, a submissive Christian. And so the whole goal is to get you from carnal to spiritual. And so lordship salvation is really a response to that. But even there, they overdo it. Because we need to understand that the gospel that God gives, He gives freely. It does not give to the sinner if the sinner first submits, or if you first commit, or if you're good enough. The believer in response to the saving work of God will produce holy living. But you don't need, He's not calling for holy living before you come to Him. What He's saying is, believe and rest in Christ, and I will justify you, and I will sanctify you, and I will cause your life to be a fruitful life. Because what God offers to us is not a piecemeal Jesus, but He offers to us the whole of Jesus, right? All of Jesus' life. And so, no, He will bring you, when He saves you, into submission. Right? It's not your duty to bring yourself first. Right? The gospel, when Jesus grabs hold of you and transforms you, brings about that submission, it brings about that obedience, it brings about that sanctified life. But it's not something we must first do. It's something that He does in us. And so, if you want to know an alternative, what's the alternative, a Reformed alternative, to lordship salvation, because lordship salvation isn't biblical, it would be really two things. First, understanding that God works by way of covenant, not contract. Right? Lordship salvation sounds a lot like a contract. You know, I'm going to save you, but you need to submit. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. No, God works by covenant. And God says, when I save you, I will do this. I will do that. Right? I will put a new heart in you. I will cause you to walk in my ways. Right? So we live by covenant, not contract. Second, we need to understand the law-gospel paradigm. Right? We need to understand the law-gospel paradigm. What happens is we confuse the law-gospel paradigm, and that's why we come to these, you know, erroneous understandings of the gospel. Because we begin to look at the law and see it as if it's gospel. I mean, that's what people do in Matthew 19. Matthew 19, the rich young man, if you remember, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus gives them the law. People are under the impression that what Jesus is teaching is the gospel, and it's not the gospel there. He's giving the rich young ruler the law, right? Not the gospel. And so we need to understand this law-gospel distinction. That's to say that in lieu of directing people to look to their own lives and to examine themselves to see if you're faithful enough, that they can have assurance by simply looking to the risen Christ. Right? Looking to the it has already been done instead of the I must do approach. Right? But we need to have a proper understanding of that law-gospel distinction. But that's the alternative. Right? Covenant and law-gospel distinction to understanding that it's not, am I holy enough? Am I faithful enough? Am I contrite enough? Am I good enough? But rather it's resting in Christ, knowing that He was all those things. He was faithful. He was good. He prayed enough. He was righteous enough. He did all those things enough for us. And His life, when we receive Him, becomes ours. And it's only when Christ becomes ours, when we are united to Christ by faith, that then He produces all of those things in our lives that He wants. And so, we have to understand, you and I make Jesus nothing. You cannot make Him Lord. You cannot make Him Savior. He makes Himself that for you. He brings you into His fold, and He makes Him that for you. And so all we are to do is trust and receive and preach the gospel as the gospel, and be careful never to confuse it, you know, with the law.